Especially in Haiti, you know, usually the poor are looked down on and seen as people of low position. And in Haiti, it's really clear which groups of people are valued more than others. And I think with this trip, that really stuck out to me was the love that each of us showed to the people there and the love that they gave back to us. Because despite the language barrier, some people couldn't speak the language on the team. And me, I'm limited on what I can say in the language and what I understand. But one thing that does translate in many different languages is love. And that really stood out more than anything. The people, you know, with the hugs and the, we went to a place and the children prayed for us. They laid hands on us. And it, after we prayed for them, and it was just awesome. They were singing, and just the love that we could feel from them that radiated from those kids. That was awesome. That orphanage was awesome because she truly training up the children the way they should go, because they were awesome. But we spent more time than usual at the compound, at the place where we were staying, and we really got to connect more with people we have seen before. We saw some of our old friends and the kids and the adults around. We met some parents of kids that we didn't even know. They came and just said, thank you for loving my kid or showing my kid this love while y'all here. And I don't know, it's just amazing to me. From the cooks in the kitchen, we wanted to bring them back. We told them we would bring them, all five of them, back here to the States, and the drivers, and just really getting to know them and getting to love on them and have them love on us. And I mean, it's just beyond explainable. And other than that, I was really touched by going to one of the special needs orphanage. But also in the scriptures, talking about overcoming evil with good, not paying back evil for evil. And without going in so much detail, I would say that it's not always the best situation for the children in different orphanages and things. You know, some of these kids are really orphans. They have no mother or father. Some of them, their parents couldn't take care of them. And so they're just there. But you can tell when a child is, like, suffering. You can tell when they're being mistreated. And I had a helpless moment thinking, I don't know what's going to happen to this child tomorrow or next week. And when we leave, the minutes after we left, they knew we were coming. We gave them things. We gave them toys. They were so excited with the toys. And I just had to, one team member, specifically Lo, really put things in perspective for me and saying that it's not about the things that we gave them, but it's about us coming here, us showing love to them. They had a moment of happiness with us. We were there probably for like an hour or 2 hours. And that while we were there, they were happy and playing with bowling pins. They fought over a bowling pin. A bowling pin, not the whole set. We don't even know what a whole set went. Each child had like a pin. They just ran around with it, you know. And that was exciting just to have a bowling pin. But, you know, it just, the Happy Meal toys from McDonald's that your kids probably throw away when they get home. Those kids were so excited to have it. But but I just had to realize that this moment that we had with them, this moment of happiness that they had, is worth so much more to them than I could even imagine. It's really not about what we bring to them, but just about us showing love to them. Because I could have sat there and cried and been upset while I was there, but I'm like, no, I should just, I'll just hide it and I'll just play with the kids and just be happy along with them. So that really, really, really touched me.
Well, I guess my first experience of Haiti will be running into a young man who had chikungunya fever who's now my adopted son, Woodson. But I was on my way to dinner, and I walked into the dinner hall, and I saw this young man, and I don't know how we connected. I don't even remember asking him what was wrong. But when I touched his back was, the fever had to be at least 100 or higher. It was so warm. And as a mother, not even a minister, I began to pray for him. And I prayed, and we went our separate ways. But Thursday morning, I'm looking for Woodson. I couldn't remember the boy's name. I thought it was Winston. I ain't know. I had to connect. And he said the fever had broke, and I touched his back, and he was cold. So the fever did break. But Thursday night, he was sick again. The fever came back. He was warm again. And I prayed for him, and we talked because he was communicating. He did speak fluent English. And he said, I'm in room 8. And the next day, I went. I think I took Justine. And we went to room 8. No Woodson. And everything in my mind went through my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, is he dead? What's wrong? I couldn't find him. But thanks be to God, during the rest of our mission trip, Woodson hung out with us. When we went to Tomon, Woodson went to Tomon, carrying bags, talking to the kids, getting them under control. Saturday, we went somewhere. I was like, you going? He said, yeah, I'm going. I said, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm okay, Mom, I'm okay. He called me Ma, and we hung out, and I was just glad to be a blessing to him. I'm going to pass the mic because I'm full right now. I'll talk to y'all soon.
I have to say, going to Haiti, you definitely experience every emotion. At least this trip, I was angry, I was mad, I was sad. I was happy all in one. I can't explain it, because this trip was different. You know, it was so many different situations, you know, that arise, and you're like, what's going on? This is not how it's supposed to be. But with every situation, God had a plan, because later we realized, oh, this happened because we were meant to do this instead. And I'm thinking back to Tomon. It was a little bit chaotic because usually the people are very, you know, calm. They come through, you know, we talk a little, we give them some food. But this time it was different because they're realizing that we're running out of food. And the people are getting, you know, a little rowdy. And I'm trying to be security at the door, you know, and I'm trying not to cry because here I am trying to pick the older ladies, you know, to come in to get some rice, because we're like, let's get the older people, you know, they probably not gonna try and be able to get some food. And I have all these people in front of my face screaming, pick me, and I'm like, I only have 10 bags left. I have to pick imagine your grandmother fighting in line, not even a line, a crowd, for a bag of rice. You know, it was, and I'm in the van, I'm like, this wasn't how it's supposed to happen, and I just couldn't handle it. So I went and I talked to Pastor. I'm like, Pastor, I'm disappointed in how today went. And, you know, he explained to me that with mission trip, trials are going to come up. You just have to be ready. You know, you have to get out of your flesh and get out of your emotions. You might feel sad, you might feel angry, but we did the best that we could. And I lost my voice. I got sick. The night after Tomon, I got sick. I lost my voice. My throat was hurting. I'm like, I couldn't sleep half of the night. Because when I laid down, I felt like I couldn't breathe. I'm like, I'm going to go to the clinic the next morning. went to the clinic, got a medicine. They were like, take one, then take, you know, half of one for 4 days. Pharmacist told me not to take it, so I didn't take it. I'm like, you know, okay, I'm not taking this medicine. I'm going to get me some lemon.